You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, today I'm so glad you're with us because we are wrapping up the series that we've been teaching the past couple weeks called What's Next. And here's the idea of the series. If you haven't been with us, if you're a first-time guest today, by the way, welcome all of our first-time guests. If you're new here today, my name's Jeremy. I'm the lead pastor here. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, so glad you're with us today. We're so glad you're here. But we've been in this series for the past few weeks called What's Next. And the whole idea is that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, like, God always has a next step for you. God has something more for you. And I think most of us, we have a sense in life of like what we want for our lives. We have some vision for that. We have some goals in every area of our lives, financially, for our careers, for our relationships. And spiritually, I think we're here because we want to grow. Amen? Anybody here because you want to grow spiritually? This is a church for people who want to grow spiritually. If you don't want to grow spiritually, you're probably in the wrong place. There are movies showing in other theaters. Find your way there. But we're here because we want to grow spiritually. You know what I'm saying? And so this, the whole idea here is that sometimes we want to get there, but we're not sure how to get there. You know, we have this kind of this vision for our lives. And so the idea is that God always has a next step for you. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to take the next step. And so let me review where we've been. In week one, we talked about the first step of knowing God, that God wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want you just to know about him, but he wants you to actually know him in a personal way. In week two, we talked about finding freedom, that God doesn't want you just limping through life, barely surviving, just coasting into heaven, but God wants you walking in freedom and healing. And so he wants us to embrace all that he has for us so that we can take the third step, and that is discover our purpose. Last week, we talked about how every person, like, you have a gift, you have talents, you have spiritual gifts, you have passions that God has placed on the inside of you. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And we talked about how we want to help you activate that. And we had two full classes of Growth Track. It was so awesome to see people going out to the Discover Your Place session and learning about their spiritual gifts and their passions. And we just want to turn you loose. We want to come alongside of you and just celebrate how God created you so that you can take your final step today, the finale step, and that is to make a difference. Everybody say it, 1, 2, 3, make a difference. This is the part where you actually activate your purpose. Come on, it's not enough just to discover your gifting. It's not enough to just get in touch with how God wired your personality and gave you a sweet spot. Like, we want to help you activate your purpose. God wants you to activate your purpose. We had about 100 people yesterday who got off of the sidelines and activated their purpose and went out and served people. That's what it's about. It's not enough to just have a gift and a heart for people. At some point in time, you got to do something. You got to step out and activate the gift that God has given you. And that's what this step is all about today. Now, I want to just start with a scripture from John chapter 12. This is the words of Jesus talking to his disciples. This is a challenging verse. Anybody okay with being challenged today? If you're okay with being challenged, say, challenge me, Pastor. Come on, I came to grow today. Challenge me. We're going to let the words of Jesus challenge us today, inspire us today, because here's what he said in John chapter 12, verses 24 through 25. He said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives. Now, you don't have to be a farmer to understand this concept, right? That we plant a seed in the ground and symbolically it dies, but there's potential in that seed. That seed goes into the ground and it can produce a new tree, a new plant, a new harvest of wheat, right? Inside of every seed is a potential orchard, is a potential vineyard, is a potential harvest. That seed dies and goes in the ground and it's multiplied. And of course, Jesus is first and foremost talking about himself. He was going to go to the cross, give himself. He was going to die, right? And the potential of his life was going to produce a harvest, right? The salvation of humanity. And Jesus is showing us a picture here. Like, when you invest your life in the kingdom of God into internal purposes, like, the impact that you have, it outlasts you because it's multiplied in the lives of other people. And then in verse 25, he says, those who love their life in this world will lose it. Those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity. That's a challenging verse, isn't it? In a sense, here's what Jesus is saying. If you put all your eggs in the basket of this life, this temporary life, then when your life ends, it stops there. If your whole focus and your whole energy and your whole effort is in like the kind of car you drive, the kind of house you live in, how much money you have, what kind of clothes you wear, like that's nice, but you can't take any of it with you. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But if you will, look at this, if you invest your life into eternal purposes, then you'll find eternal life, right? In another place, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Like if you invest in eternal treasure, like that's what you're going to take with you into eternity. And so Jesus invites us to give our lives away. He invites us to give our lives away, to invest our lives into something that is going to outlast us, something greater than us, something bigger than us, the kingdom of God, into eternal purposes. And this is a countercultural message, isn't it? This is a countercultural message because you and I live in a culture where the prevailing message is live for yourself. Like do what makes you happy. Do what makes you comfortable. It's all about you. We hear that idea is marketed to us in 1,000 different ways every day. But Jesus says that true life is found in giving your life away to others. See, whatever you do for yourself usually dies with you in this life. But what you do for others and investing your life into others and serving others, Jesus says somehow in his kingdom, in the economy of his kingdom, somehow that lives on beyond you. Somehow that lasts beyond you. When you invest your life into something eternal in the kingdom of God, then that lasts beyond your life. And so here's the idea this morning, church. Your life is a seed. Your life is a seed. You have only one opportunity to plant it. You have one opportunity to invest it. And Jesus is inviting us to invest it in, and to plant it into something eternal. I think most of us, we wanna live lives of significance, of purpose. I think most of us have some sense that, man, life is short and it's precious. And we have these little moments every now and then, right? That, man, life is flying by. Right? Like, man, my kids are growing up, or we go to funerals and we have different little reminders in life that remind us that life is precious and we want our lives to count. We want to have significance, but yet we just get so busy sometimes. We get so distracted sometimes. We drift sometimes. So many things are competing for our attention, but Jesus is calling us to invest our lives purposefully, intentionally, right? To plant our lives into his kingdom. And so the question is, where do we start, right? Sometimes in the midst of our busyness and all that we have to do and work and chores and maintaining our homes and raising our families, all the things we have to do, like, where do we start? And I want to give you just a few ideas today to kind of activate your purpose. Just some things you can do to make this practical that you can grab a hold of. These are things I've shared before, but they're worth reiterating today. So why don't you take out the Redemption app or take out whatever you use to take notes and jot a few things down today, because I want to give you three ways that you can make a difference with your life. Because our purpose step today, we want to step into this to make a difference with our lives. How many of you want to make a difference with your life, to know that your life has counted for something? All right, six of you. The rest of you, by the end of this service, you're going to say, God, I believe you can use me. Come on. We're believing for you. Three ways that you can invest your life, that you can plant your life, that God can use your life to make a difference. And it starts with giving. I want you to think of this concept of giving as investing, planting, giving, first of all, of your time. Giving of your time. Three things that you can give back to God. Oh, there's plenty of other things you can give back, but three things this morning that you can give back to God. Number one is your time. This might be the most precious thing that we have to give back to God, because we are busy people, aren't we? In the midst of our busy, crazy lives, one of the most precious things you can give back to God is your time. Come on, especially as New Yorkers, we have a little bit of a reputation in the world for being busy people, right? The city that never sleeps. I don't think it's that New Yorkers are so rude. It's just that we're always in a rush. It's the speed of this city. Oh, there's some rude people, don't get me wrong. But we're in a rush, right? And the funny thing is, like, I don't realize how much it impacts me till I go to other cities that are slower. You know, I visit family in like New Orleans and Buffalo, and the light turns green and I'm like, oh, let's go, the light's green, come on. Why aren't you moving, people? I'm like, oh my God, I've been living in New York, like, right? It's like PTSD, it's like, man, relax. This is who we are, this is who we are. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4. He said something powerful about time. He said, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. We must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. It's a powerful picture, isn't it? Like Jesus gives this imagery of like, it, like daytime's only gonna last so long. Really powerful to us this time of year with daylight savings, right? Where it gets dark fast. Like there's only so much time. There's only so much time that you have to give back to the kingdom of God, right? There's only so much time before Jesus returns. Like this is a very powerful picture. Like as long as it's day, we should be giving our time, redeeming the time, giving it back, finding ways to give it back to the kingdom of God. And I think one of the greatest enemies of us making a difference with our lives is just busyness. Just busyness. We're just so busy. Most of us, we want to make a difference. Most of us want to know that our lives count. We want to make a difference for God, but we're just so busy. And let me just tell you this morning, if you're waiting for your life to slow down before you make a difference, you're never going to make a difference. Newsflash, we're all busy. Newsflash, everybody who got out and served this weekend for the serve event, everybody who got up this morning early to serve and set the stage for this church this morning, everybody's busy. If you're waiting for your life to slow down one day to make a difference, life is going to pass you by. You got to work while there's still day, while there's still daylight. How many of you have ever heard of the Eisenhower decision matrix? Some of you, we have a picture for you. Some of you in the corporate world, you've heard of this before. This is a decision-making matrix that was actually developed by President Eisenhower, and it takes into account two factors, urgency and importance. And it's a matrix to help you make decisions. There are four quadrants. In the first quadrant, there's what's urgent and what's important, okay? This would be like tasks, like things you have to do right now. These are the things you have to do right now. In fact, these would also be like emergencies. Like if the school nurse calls you and says your kid is sick at school, you drop what you're doing, you go pick them up because it's urgent and important. Then the second quadrant would be what's important but not urgent. These are the things you have to plan for, right? These are things you put on your calendar, but these are also the really important things in life that you need to make some decisions about. You have to be intentional. How many of you know that purchasing life insurance is important, but it's not urgent? Going to the gym is important, but it's not urgent. Taking care of yourself, like it's not urgent, but it's something you have to do. Quadrant three is what's urgent, but what's not important. In my mind, this is like emails and texts, right? Like your phone is buzzing. It feels urgent, but a lot of times it's not really important. So in the corporate world, they would say delegate this, but you get the picture. Then the fourth quadrant is what's not urgent and what's not important. This is stuff you need to quit doing, like playing on Facebook at work. Just quit doing that, okay? Because you know, once the first video pops up, you just get sucked in. How many of you, come on, the Ellen videos just start coming and you just get sucked in. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right. Here's the idea. This is where I'm going with this, all right? Yeah, quadrant one is important, like what's important and what's urgent. But if you only live there, you're always going to be ruled by the tyranny of the urgent. You know, really effective people have learned how to grab a hold of what's important but not urgent, and they plan. They make an intentional plan to serve others. So you following me? Stephen Covey talks about this in his famous book, The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Like people who want to make a difference with their lives, people who are living with a purpose that is bigger than them, they're quadrant two people. They make some decisions, they make some plans, because making a difference is never going to be urgent. Your to-do list, your career, your work, going to the cleaners to pick up your dry cleaning, all of those things are always going to be there. But making a difference with your life, it's not always going to be urgent. You got to prioritize it. You got to make a decision. You got to be intentional. There's an intentionality that Jesus calls us to. The other day, I was raking some leaves at my house, and this was in the height of when all of the leaves were falling off of all the trees. I was in like leaf hell. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Like I was waking up with nightmares about leaves because like I could barely see my house, leaves everywhere. And so I'm raking some leaves, and Amy asked me to go take a break and go pick up Michael and Nicholas off of the bus. And so I went around the block, picked them up. And as I'm walking to pick them up, I see my elderly neighbor a few houses down who I don't really know. I see my elderly neighbor. She's out shoveling leaves with a regular garden shovel, shoveling leaves into a bag. And she's got leaves everywhere. This poor old lady's doing this by herself, using a shovel. I'm thinking, what in the world is this? I mean, she must have been in her 80s at least and moving slow as can be. And I'm thinking, man, she's never going to get this done. What in the world is she doing out here by herself? Like somebody ought to help her. And the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, you're that somebody. And so I go to get the boys, and we're walking past, and I just felt like, man, and of course, I had 101 things to do. I got my own lawn, right? I'm in leaf hell at my own house. Like, I got a couple hours worth of work to do and so many things on my mind, picking up the boys. And I said to Michael and Nicholas, come on, we're going to stop and help our neighbor out. And I said, we're gonna help her out. Come on, let's go back to the house, get some stuff. Michael went and got the blower, and I got the rake, and Nicholas got the big snow shovel. And we went over, And I said, hey, I got some boys here who are ready to help you out. And my neighbor was so shocked. I mean, we didn't know her, and she'd never met us before. And the boys got to working, and we got to talking to her. And we did about 2 bags, helped her kind of clean up the driveway. And I had never met her before. It was a chance to meet my neighbor. She's lived in a house since 1962, something like that. And I was asking her, I'm like, don't you have help? And one of her sons is the only person there to help her, but he's been busy with work. In fact, her husband had been doing leaves the day before and fell and hit his head, had to go to the ER. And so there was a real need here. And can I tell you that, you know, I did something to bless her, but it blessed me more than it blessed her. It changed my day. It changed my heart. It changed my perspective. And I got to say to my boys, like, we do this because this is what we're called to do. Like, this is what Jesus would do if he was walking by, right? And you know, we had so much fun doing that. There was so much joy. The boys, they had more fun doing that for the neighbor than they do helping me out at the house. I'm like, can I get a little joy out of you guys, like doing some chores around the house? We let you live here. We're nice enough to let you live here. And I want to, here's the truth. I'm not trying to sound like the hero, because the truth is most days I would be too busy. Most days I'd just be flying by and I wouldn't even see my neighbor. But I'm going to tell you, every now and then, the Holy Spirit will whisper to you to give some time back to God by serving somebody else. And you know who ends up being blessed? You end up being blessed. Because I felt so close to Jesus that day. It was the best thing I did. It changed my whole day that day. I'll tell you, I remember my dad used to always do this. My dad would pull over on the side of the road when he saw somebody broken down. He'd stop and help somebody. Now, you don't want me stopping to pull over and help you out, because I can't fix anything. I can barely change a light bulb. If I pull over to help you, I'm like, here's my phone. You can call AAA, okay? But that stuck with me. That stuck with me. And here's what I want to tell you. You can't save everybody. You can't be Captain America. You can't say yes to everything. You might kill yourself if you do that. But I'm going to tell you, every now and then, God will call you to give a little time. God, one of the greatest things that will happen to you is God will interrupt your busy schedule and allow you to serve somebody else, and it'll be a great moment in your life. So just stay open to that. Stay open to those little moments where God wants to interrupt your life so you can give your time back to somebody else, to bless somebody else. Amen? One of the most precious things we could do is give our time back to God. Here's the second thing. Number two, how we can make a difference with our lives, how we can invest our lives into the kingdom of God. Number two is you can give your talent. You can give your talent. Last week we talked about this, right? We talked about how God has wired every one of us with a certain personality. He's given us talents. He's given us gifts. He's given us spiritual gifts. We talked about how we want to invite everybody to go through Growth Track. If you haven't done that, if you missed it, we're going to do it again in January. Go through that Growth Track and learn about how God has wired you, because we want to help you activate your gift. The Apostle Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. He says, each of you should use whatever gift you have to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Each of you, you have a gift, and God's calling you to use it to serve others. You actually serve him by serving others. You actually serve the kingdom of God and eternal purposes by serving people who are made in his image, and you use your gift to do that in the grace of God that's on your life. And here's the beautiful thing. There's actually a connection between these two words, gift and grace. They're actually a lot more similar than we realize. We don't see this in the English, but in the original language, the New Testament was written in Greek, the word grace comes from the word charis, and the word gift comes from the word charism. They're basically the same idea. The idea is that your gifts flow from God's grace. Your gifts actually flow from God's grace on your life. There is a divine enablement on your life to do the things that God has called you to do. There's a grace endowment, like your gifts flow from the grace of God on your life. Did you ever notice there's just some things that you do that are just pure joy to you? Like, other people don't want to do them, but you love to do those things. It's just a joy in your life. And when you do them, like, God uses you. God blesses you. Are you with me? Like, there's something, some of you just got a gift, like you're just an encourager. Come on, you're always smiling. Other people show up at church early in the morning looking like they're constipated and sucking on lemons. You show up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're all the way up. You're 100. You're blessing people with your smile. It's infectious. Come on, some of you just love to pray for people. Like, when you pray for people, it's like Jesus shows up in the room. Some of you got a gift of faith. Like, you have faith for anything and everything. Like, you have faith that could move mountains. When people are on empty, you got faith. Like, your tank is full. You can believe for them even when they can't believe for themselves. It's a gift that God gave you. Some of you are organizers. You're planners. My wife is a planner. Me, I need pressure. I need last minute. Amy's planning Christmas at Easter and Easter at Christmas. I'm like, Lord have mercy. I'm thinking about this Sunday's message, and you're planning like Easter, like 2 years from now. I have this idea we could do one day, right? Like, it's a gift, though. It's a gift. And it flows from the grace of God on your life. And some of you have wondered, like, how is it that I love to do that thing? Or when I do it, it's effective, but other people don't like to do it? Because the grace of God is on your life. Come on, I want to say, stir up the gift that God put on the inside of you, because it flows from his grace on your life. Flows from his grace in your life. And we think all the time that God wants to make us do things we don't really want to do. Oh, there's sacrifice. There's sacrifice, and that's a sermon for another time. But a lot of times it's from the gift that's on your life. The grace of God is flowing in your life. Step into it. We got a church full of people who are using their gifts every week to serve people. We got a church full of people who have activated the gift on their life. I love meeting new people in this church, new parents in this church who are like, well, we came back because our kids loved Redemption Kids so much. They had such a good time. They were like, we want to go back to that church next week because our kids team was doing an awesome job just loving on them in preschool, in nursery, in Redemption Kids. And even if the parents didn't want to come back, the kids were like, no, we're going back to that church. And the parents came back and got saved because their kids were like, we love this church. Come on. That's because our kids team, there's a gift there. They love our kids. I love when I meet people and I meet somebody who, you know, I love to meet new people after church and like, you know, I came into this church and I was a little bit nervous about coming to church. My friend invited me or, I Googled church because I knew I needed to get back in church and I came here not knowing what to expect and I was a little bit nervous and I haven't been in church in years, but there were people who greeted me at the entrance and people high-fived me and gave me a hug and somebody offered me coffee and refreshments. Come on, because our guest services team was setting the atmosphere before people even came in here because you were using your hospitality gift to love on people. And then our production team, come on, the unsung heroes who are behind the scenes, who get up early while you're still sleeping in. They're here. And people tell me, like, I came into a movie theater not knowing what to expect in a church in a movie theater, but it was so technically excellent. Like, you know, like, you guys didn't miss a beat. This was like an amazing, the video and the sound quality. And it was like I was in a mega church. Like, this was amazing. Because the production team's using their gift. Come on. You don't want me back running the soundboard. It would be awful. But they're using the gifts that God has given them. And then our worship team, right? I love meeting somebody who was like, I felt like worship was just for me today, Pastor. I came in like the preaching was okay. But man, every song they sang today, it was like they were singing like songs just to me. And I came into God's presence today and he touched my heart today because the worship team, you use your gift. And we got teams of people praying for people after church. And we got a meals ministry making meals for people who need meals. And we got our creative team, come on, working their digital magic. And we got people putting on blue t-shirts, activating their gift. Come on, you got to give your talents back to God. Give your talents back to God. Activate the grace that's on your life. And watch how God uses you. And so many people want to make a difference in the world, but the problems of this world seem so big and they don't even know where to start. Come on, better to simplify it. Find a simple goal and actually do something. Posting about the problems of the world on Facebook is nice, but it doesn't really accomplish much, okay? You want to do something, activate your gift, step out and serve. Some of you got a taste of that. You came to Serve Day the other day, the Serve event for the first time. And so now you want more of that. Come on, you had a little bit of that taste of God using you. And we want to encourage you, activate your gift. Get on the dream team. That's what the dream team is here for, okay? So each of these steps we're talking about, we want to give you something to put it into play here, to take a practical step. And so this is why we have our dream team, our team of people who serve every week. And so we want to encourage you, get plugged in, start serving once a month. You don't have to serve your life away, but watch how God uses you. Go onto our website, go on the app and go to the Connect page or flip over that Connect card that you got today when you came in and fill it out. Let us know that you want more information and we'll get in touch with you. We'll just talk you through. We'll try to find the right place for you, but get in somewhere and activate the gift that's in your life. Find a need and fill it. Step out and do something. You got to activate the gift that's on the inside of you. And let me just encourage you. You're going to discover the joy of serving. You're going to discover the joy of giving your life back. Like, we have fun serving around here. Little secret just to let you know. Like, there's fun. There's teamwork and coming together. And there's a sense of pulling together that we're on mission here and that we're setting the stage every Sunday for God to touch somebody's life. And you just get in and watch what happens when the joy of the Lord gets a hold of you and you show up on a Sunday morning and maybe you attend one service and you serve another service. Come on, you can double dip. You can get both. And just watch how God, you discover the joy of God using your life to bless somebody else. you discover the joy of God using your life to make a difference in somebody else's life as his grace flows through you to touch somebody else. I'm telling you, there's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. So I want to encourage you, some of you who haven't joined a team yet, find your team, find your little tribe, step out and activate your gift and watch how God blesses your life. You're going to be the one who's blessed for it. You're going to be the one who's blessed for it. Here's the third thing. Is this good? Is this helping anybody? Here's the third thing. We can give our time. We can give our treasure. The third way that we can make a difference, that we can invest our lives back into the kingdom of God, is to give of our treasure. Give of our treasure. Say, what is that about, Pastor? Like, what are we, pirates with buried treasure? Like, what is that? Treasure. This is your resources. This is to give back of your resources. Look at this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul says this. Remember this. Here's another farming seed analogy. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Some translations say God loves a cheerful giver, right? And God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Back up a verse there, guys, to the beginning, to verses 6 through 7. Now, this is not that hard to understand, right? Like, if you want to have a great harvest, you got to sow some more seeds. The person who sows generously is going to reap generously, right? And I love this, that it says that don't give under compulsion. Don't give under, like, a guilt trip. Some of you came from a church background where everything was a guilt trip. God loves a cheerful giver. In fact, the original language here in the Greek, it's actually the word cheerful giver. It's hilaros, like where we get the word hilarious. Like, God loves a person who can almost laugh with joy. Like, I get to give back. Come on, there are a lot of bills that you have to pay every month, every week that are not a joy to have to pay, right? But we get to give back to God's kingdom. We get to give back. And I love what verse 8 says. I love this picture of blessing. And God will generously provide all that you need. Put verse 8 back up there, guys. And God will generously provide all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. That's a true picture of blessing. Like, when you have enough blessing in your life that it overflows from you to, like, where your needs are met, but it overflows from you to bless someone else. Let me just tell you, that's a picture of true blessing. And a lot of people think that blessing is only about what I can get. And so blessing becomes elusive. They're never happy because there's always something more, right? Like, if I just had this kind of house, or if I just had this one more thing, if I just could drive this kind of car, oh, I'm good. Everything's great. If I could just have this boat. And they think when I have one more thing, they're finally going to find happiness. That's not really where the real blessing is. The real blessing is when God has provided for your needs and he's brought you to a place where you can say, God, everything that I have is from you. You poured your blessing into my life. Now let it overflow from me to bless someone else. That's a true picture of blessing. That's a true picture of contentment. When you're content enough that you recognize there's an overflow in your life to bless someone else. And so it starts with this sense of, God, everything you've given me is from you. Not just money, all the resources, every treasure you've given me. God, my house, you didn't just give me my house for me. You gave me my house to bless someone else. See, God blessed me with a house this past year. I showed up in Westchester 5 years ago, didn't know anybody, didn't have a church, was living on a prayer like Bon Jovi. Come on, had to raise a bunch of money to get a church off the ground. You better believe when God gave me a house in Westchester County, I saw it as a gift from God. I'm gonna open my house for life group, for pastors meetings, to pray for people. Come on over. My house is open. We're going to have people here. We're going to fellowship. We're going to love on people because, God, you gave me this house as a resource. Are you with me?
Yes.
Come on. God gave you the car he gave you. Pick somebody up for church. Use it to bless someone. Like, everything you have is a resource for you to sow back into the kingdom of God. And I want to challenge some of you this morning. Come on. I want to challenge some of you to store up the gift, because some of you, you actually have the gift of giving. This is one of your spiritual gifts. In fact, God has given you the gift to make money. Come on, don't we wish we all had it? Not all of us have it. But some of you, you're Wall Street people, you're financial people. Some of you, like, God put the gift of making money on your life, and he's calling you to steward it well. Some of you have the gift of actually making money, and giving has not been an outlet for you. It's not been a gift you've activated, and you've not been a cheerful giver. And I want to tell you something. There's a blessing you're missing out on until you step out and activate this gift, because God gave it to you. Come on, I know I'm challenging you this morning, but I want something for you, not from you. Whatever your gift is. See, if I were to say, you know what, I'm going to hold back and just start preaching half-hearted on a Sunday morning. Like, it's good. I've poured a lot into this, and, you know, this is great. The church is growing. I'm going to coast a little bit. I'm going to kind of study kind of halfway from my message. passage and give you half of what I got. Y'all would be like, well, Pastor, what are you doing? You're not using your gift. And I would want to turn around and say to some of you, like, God gave you the ability to make money and you're not fully giving everything you could give back to his kingdom. You're not giving cheerfully. And God wants to show you what's going to happen when you step out to begin using that gift to fund the kingdom of God. His blessing is going to come on your life like never before. And some of y'all are getting quiet, but there are some people in this room who have stepped into that and they've seen this to be true. And so I want something for you, not from you. I want to see you stir up the gift that God gave you. Watch how his blessing comes on your life. Come on, you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. Amen. And so we have an opportunity every Sunday to put this into practice. You know, we're going to receive tithes and offerings later on. But this morning, I'm so excited because today when you came in, you received one of these green Christmas offering brochures. Everybody take a moment to find that. If you didn't find that, if you didn't get one when you came in, you can get one on the way out. And so when we all come back from eating way too much after Thanksgiving this week, the holidays are full blown upon us. Let's just be honest. Some of y'all started decorating right after Halloween, so you're already in Christmas mode, like you're already there. So we just want to take a moment to share and cast a little vision for our Christmas offering this year. We're believing God to do greater things than ever before. We have a goal of $50,000 this year for our Christmas offering. And every year, we ask our church family to pray about giving something above and beyond. Above and beyond your tithes and offerings. Amy and I do this. We pray about a sacrificial gift to make a difference, to impact people's lives, both locally, both nationally, globally. And so let me just outline some of our projects for you this year. We're going to be giving to help fund Serve Day this year. As you know, we're expanding Serve Day. We did this fall event. We're going to be doing a winter/spring event. And then we're going to have our big summer Serve Day. We want to do more. Come on, if you've come out and been a part of Serve Day, there's a sense of like, man, we want to do more. We want to see God work through us to touch more people. We want to serve more people. Come on, we want to bring healing to more people. We want to bless more people. We want to feed more people. We want to do what we can do to make a difference in this town, in Portchester, and in Westchester. So we want to expand our outreach. We want to see God do greater things through us. And so we're going to get out of the seats and into the streets. And so part of your giving this year is going to go to fund our Serve Day initiatives. Can I just tell you, like this past week, the organization we partnered with, they were just so surprised and blessed that we wanted to show up and serve them. And we said, go ahead and just order as many turkeys as you think we can serve. And we're going to pay for the whole thing. They were like, well, we got the invoice. So, you know, if you can cover as much as you can. I'm like, no, it's our joy. Like, this is what we're called to do, to give back. And so we're going to do that with some Serve Day initiatives locally this year. If you've been around Redemption any time here, you know that we're a church planting church. We believe the local church is the hope of the world. We're a part of a church planting movement. We're a part of a network called the Association of Related Churches, ARC, and Reach Northeast. Like, we were born in a church planting movement that's happening in our nation. And so we give back to other church plants. We believe that what God is doing in this world, he's doing through the local church. Come on, how many of you came here, you found a church home, God touched your life, you're thankful for church in a movie theater that came here, that people gave to and invested. This is what we're doing. We're paying it forward and helping churches launch all across, specifically the Northeast, which is the most unchurched region in our nation. And so we're helping plant churches in strategic areas. I have a few inner city pastors who have reached out who are asking for our help this year. We're going to help plant some churches in some areas that have some real need, in places like inner city Philly and Camden, Jersey. And then we're really excited because we are going to be beginning to lay the groundwork in this next year for an expansion of our church, of planting a new location for our church. Not a building, but a second location. Like one church in two locations in Westchester County, okay? And so we're going to invest into that in this Christmas offering. We need some of you to give. And so there'll be more details to come in this next year about that. But we're believing for our church to have a baby and multiply so we can reach more people. How many of you know we got about 1 million people in Westchester County? We cannot reach them all from one location. So we're believing God to take more territory, more ground, and we're going to open up a whole other location of our church in Westchester. Some of y'all ought to get a little bit excited right about now. I'm just saying. All right. So we're going to ask you to give toward that. And then we have some awesome global initiatives. We're partnering with our partner, One Hope, for the World Without Sickness initiative, where they get the word of God into sensitive nations that aren't open to traditional missionaries, and especially places like Southeast Asia and Cambodia. And they also do dental and just general health hygiene to help save kids' lives and just take their well-being to a whole nother level. And last year, we helped reach over 21,000 kids. Amazing. I can't even get my head around that. 21,000 kids. And then also, many of you sponsor a child with One Child. It used to be called One Child Matters. The new name is One Child. We partner with a wonderful church in Hope Center down in Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And I talked to our rep from One Child, and he said one of the great needs they have is that many of the kids they sign up for the program don't have a long-term sponsor yet. And so they can go like several months without a sponsor. And so they have a fund to help cover these kids until we can match them to a long-term sponsor. And so we're going to give out of part of the Christmas offering. We're going to take care of these kids. We're going to love on some kids who are in poverty, and we're going to help provide medical care and education. And of course, all of this is happening in a Christian environment. So these kids are going to receive the love of Jesus and the word of God. And we're going to make sure these kids are fed. And so we're going to take care of some kids, okay? And if any of you are, yeah, amen. Let's praise God for that. And if any of you guys are interested in child sponsorship, there are always open slots. So just email the church about that, and we can get you hooked up. If you're interested in sponsoring a child through One Child, just reach out to us. But we're going to help cover that fund. So we have an opportunity to make a difference. We have lots of ways for you to activate your faith and make a difference. So I'm going to ask you to take this brochure. If you didn't get one on the way in, get one on the way out. Take it home. Pray over it. Ask God to give you faith. Between now and the end of the year to bring a special gift above and beyond our tithes and offerings. For us to hit $50,000 this year, some of us are going to have to do something extraordinary. God's going to have to do something great. I believe we can do this. This is a great opportunity for us. If you're a parent, we talk to our kids about giving. I can tell you every year we're doing less and less of giving our kids just stuff. We're trying to give them more experiences, and we're trying to teach them the joy of giving. If you want your kids to learn to be generous and that Christmas isn't about stuff, then you have to actually do Christmas different than the way the world does it. And you have to take this opportunity and seize it, parents. Listen to me, parents. Look at me for a moment. This is an opportunity for you to teach your kids generosity. To maybe say to your kids, hey, do you want to do maybe one or two less gifts this year so we can bless somebody else? Watch how your kid's heart grows. Watch how your kid's heart for the world and generosity. Take them through this brochure and talk to them about it, and watch how your kids, their hearts grow, and they never go back to the same size. Amen? So we're believing for God to use our church this Christmas. God's going to speak to somebody to do something extraordinary, and we're going to be a blessing to our community, to the Northeast, and to the world. I want to invite the worship team to come back up. Would everybody stand with me? We're going to pray over you. I know I ran over a few minutes, so worship team, just come back. And here's what I want to remind you this morning, church. Your life is a seed. Your life is a seed, amen? It's precious. We only get one chance to invest it into things that matter. And Jesus is inviting you and me to take this precious life that we have, this one seed, and to invest it into his kingdom, into an eternal purpose that will outlive us. I don't know about you, but I want my life to outlast me. I want my life to outlast me. And I know the only way that can happen is to invest it into the kingdom of God by serving other people, people who he loves, people who Jesus gave his life for, people who are made in his image. This is how we make a difference with our lives. And I can just tell you, the best prayer I ever prayed in my life at 16 years old is, God, use my life. God, use my life. I don't know what that looks like. God, I'm a little bit scared to pray that, but God, use my life. God, use my life. And I want to just encourage you. I believe there are some people this morning, something stirring in your heart. There's more. You know, God placed some things inside of you. He put some dreams in you. He's got some gifts in you. And today you just want to say, Jesus, use my life. I don't even know what that means. And that might even be a scary prayer, but God, use my life. Come on, if that's you, would you bow your head? And if that's you today, would you just lift your hands this morning? Just bow your head. Nobody's looking around. If that's you today and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. The Holy Spirit's speaking to me today. God, I want you to use my life. I want to know who I'm praying for. If that's you, just lift your hands all over this place as a sign of surrender. God, sign me up. Sign me up for your mission. Sign me up for your kingdom. Father, thank you for every person in this place. Thank you that every person in this place, God, you see them. You know them. You know their name. You know their story. You put purpose inside of them. You put gifts inside of them. They have a story. That is their life, everything they've been through, the good, the bad, the ugly. God, you want to redeem it all. And God, you're calling us today to activate our purpose. And so, Holy Spirit, stir up the gift in your people today. Stir up the gift in your people today. We say, God, here we are. Use us. Come on, pray that with me. Jesus, use my life. Use my life for your glory, your kingdom, your eternal purpose. We thank you for it, Father. Stir up the gift in your people in Jesus' name. If you believe it, would you say amen?
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.